Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. A few years ago, Garrison Keillor decided to look for a new religion. The man whose Prairie Home Companion radio show and books about Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, made Midwestern Lutheranism and church potlucks famous, if not funny, decided he needed to find a new religion. The old Lutheran Christianity that made him a best-selling author and a millionaire wasn't good enough for him anymore. Do you want to know why? Trump's election. But it wasn't so much Trump, per se, that made Keillor look for a new religion. He wrote in a letter to the Washington Post, "Too many of my fellow Christians voted for selfishness and for degradation of the beautiful world God created. I guess they figured that by the time the planet was a smoky wasteland, they'd be nice and comfy in heaven, so what the hell? Anyhow, I'm looking around for other options." From Keillor's point of view, his fellow Christians were nothing to brag about because they didn't vote the way he did. And they didn't embrace Mother Earth the way he did. But Keillor's intellectual elitism is beside the point. With all of his used-to-be-funny stories about Lutheranism and the Midwest, he lost sight of what real Christianity is all about. It isn't how agreeable the church is with the culture, this culture of death, or how nice Christians are, because after all, Minnesota nice isn't so nice if you know Minnesotans. Or how Christianity makes you feel. It's about what God has done for his poor, miserable sinners in Christ Jesus. I, a poor, miserable sinner. That's what we confess at the beginning of each divine service. Those words turn a lot of people off, but they are honest words. Because truthfully, what do we have to offer God, really, but our sins? Everything we do is tainted by sin. Take away Jesus, and all that we have is our worldly wealth, our works, and our wisdom. But what is that to God? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." If you had to stand before God on his holy mountain, before his holy throne, what would you give him that would impress God? What would you give to God that you could actually boast about? Well, the prophet Micah asked that same question. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Can any of us boast that we have given to God what he wants? Justice, kindness, and humility. The honest answer is no. Jesus teaches that if we keep the commandments perfectly, that if we keep all those Ten Commandments without breaking one of them, we have just done our duty. We have met expectations. That's really nothing to boast about. And if that's not enough, the prophet Isaiah says that even our righteous works, even the works that we think God might consider good, well, they are as filthy rags in his sight. Because without Jesus, everything that we do is tainted by sin. But you know, that's the wisdom of our age, isn't it? If you want something, you work for it. And if you achieve it, then you get to brag about it. Last week, there were a lot of people bragging about the Baltimore Ravens. They're not bragging anymore. That's the way of the world. It's fickle and it's failing. But through the Apostle Paul, God says to this worldly wisdom, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Well, as we measure our lives against God's commandments, when we look at ourselves the way that God sees us, well, there really isn't much to boast about. And even when we measure ourselves by the world's standards, there still really isn't very much for us to boast about, at least not most of us. Like Paul said, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Those are the things that the world boasts in. Money, smarts, power, and birthright. But not many of us excel in those areas. So it shouldn't surprise us that every time we think that we're better than someone else, or that somehow we measure up before God and they don't, that we have forgotten one of the virtues that God requires, and that is humility before Him. For we are all, whether we are believers or unbelievers, equally sinful in God's eyes. I asked that question to a Bible study one day. Who are the bigger sinners, believers or unbelievers? And they said, well, unbelievers. I said, we are all equally sinful in God's sight. The only difference, Christians know it, and we confess it, and we fight against our sins. We are all equally sinners. Martin Luther put it another way. After he died, a note was found in his pants pocket. On this note, he had written, Viris in Bethler, hoc est verum. That's a mixture of German and Latin that means we are all beggars. This is true. It is true. We come before God as humble beggars with empty sacks. We have nothing to offer God, nothing of ourselves that would give us reason to boast before God. We are beggars. And that is our life without Jesus. But you see, Jesus makes all the difference in the world. As poor, miserable sinners, we come before God with empty sacks, beaten down by the law that shows us our sins, by the world that hates us because we follow Jesus, and by the recognition and knowledge of our own sins that comes from the Word of God. We come to God then with these empty sacks, humbly seeking His mercy, and He graciously and abundantly fills those sacks with Jesus, with His forgiveness, with His life, with His salvation, with His love, with His peace, with His every blessing, everything that you need to stand before God with your heads held high, God gives to you in Jesus. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You could have none of this by your own power and might. It is only yours because of Jesus. That's why Paul says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that indeed is the proper boast. For forgiveness isn't earned. We don't boast in how many sins God has forgiven. Heaven isn't earned. Jesus earned heaven for you. Pleasing God isn't something you can do by your own power and might, but Jesus pleases God in and through you. These are the gifts of God that God gives you through faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our greatest boast then is not in us and what we do, but in what Jesus does for us and what He does to us. And it's Jesus working through Christians that changed the world. So our greatest boast is I believe in Jesus, who died for me, a poor, miserable sinner on the cross. But as you read our text from 1 Corinthians, there's another kind of boasting going on here. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So did you catch that? God has a boast to make as well. He boasts in you. Ordinary, everyday believers in Christ crucified, you are God's boast. You are evidence to the world that God's word has the power to save, that the cross is the place of redemption. And while the world laughs and scoffs at the Son of God on the cross, God points to you and tells the world just how foolish and weak it is. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said this of John the Baptist, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." And then he says this about you, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." While the world may not value you because you follow Jesus and not the world, while the world may hate you because you trust in Jesus and you hate the world, and while the world may try to destroy you because you live your lives according to God's word and wisdom and not according to the world's foolishness and death, God boasts in you. God calls you his beloved children, and how beautiful is that? And yet, there are times when we do indeed feel impoverished, like a beggar, when our sins leave us feeling poor and miserable, when the hatred of the sinful world presses hard against us and leaves us feeling like outsiders, like strangers in an alien world. It is God who lifts you up in Christ. It is God who boasts about you. It is God who removes your beggar's clothing, your sackcloth of repentance, and clothes you with the righteousness of Christ. It is God who fills your emptiness, your loneliness, your being rejected, with his love and peace and hope and promises. It is God who takes your eyes from this dying world and places them on your life-giving Savior. And so while you properly boast in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know this, that as God's people, God boasts in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.